Good evening. Is everyone there? Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, all right. Is anyone else on that can hear me? Well, if not, well, we're going to start the show. Yeah, this is called the Ringing Stone Network. And I'll be your host tonight, Kael Yahweh. And I'd like to first thank the Father Yahweh, the Son Yahweh, and the Holy Spirit Yahweh. And I would also like to thank everyone that's listening tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about some of the common things that we have a problem with, usually with the court system, about them respecting your affidavits, respecting your writs, and things of that nature. So first of all, we all have been into a court where we submitted paperwork to the administrative judge and they did not listen to it, or they just thumbed their nose at it. And a lot of people would like to know why that happened. And the way I found out is, you know, I went through that, you know, before too. You guys may have heard me talk about this a little bit, but since I'm on the, you know, our own show, I'd like to go over that again and let people know why this happened to them, you know, other than, of course, it being crooked. You know, one thing that, you know, we all have an issue with is writ, affidavit, and motion. You know, and we all know that a motion is a request from the court and you do something so they can say no. And we all know that a writ is a common law order by a high authority, which is we the people, to authorize and order them to do a thing. And then, you know, we have an affidavit. The affidavit is a written statement, you know, to be either confirmed or rebutted point for point. Now, we all heard that we all have a, what you would call affidavit is a, you know, what they say, stands true in commerce. You know, it has that pool. So when we turn that affidavit in, the thing is, why is these judges listening to it or the magistrate? Because one of the key words, again, is an affidavit stand true in commerce and have to be rebutted, but they always have people to look over them. The court clerk looks over them and don't pay attention to them. And then you wonder what happens. Hey, look, I've written an affidavit. You know, all affidavits have to be either testified, affirmed, or sworn under penalty and perjury, and also that you are of legal age and competent to state the facts herein. So it takes more than that. One secret to these affidavits to make them, which I've used too, and, you know, they usually call them a problem, is that once the affidavits stand true in commerce, what they're telling you is that, first of all, you have to enter your affidavit into commerce. And the way you enter your affidavit, actually your writs and things of that nature as well, is to get that affidavit and you turn it into the secret of the estate. So you're like, well, what's the secret of the estate? And the secret of the estate is called and known to more like the Secretary of State. But it's really the secret of estate. You get your affidavits written out, you know, properly, and you give yourself enough time to turn them into the Secretary of State and get them to certify them. And then you enter them back into the courts as a mandatory judicial notice and or evidence. And see, now they have to deal with that, and they can't just as well, well, I looked at it and I didn't think much of it, because see, now you enter your document and your testimony into commerce, and we're all into the court of commerce. It's not necessarily an admiralty court, even though they use admiralty and admiralty jurisdiction. But we're in, and this is what they don't let you know. The jurisdiction, once you go in there, that's a military flag. And a lot of people say, I know. That's a military, that's a Navy flag, or that's the law of the sea. That flag is an executive order flag, which has the gold fringe, and we heard this a million times. It has that gold fringe on it, which means you are under martial law, you are an enemy of the state, and therefore you are brought in under the presidential executive order as an enemy of the state, and they're going to use maritime jurisdiction to take and seize your money out of your pocket, what we call money, your assets, and things of that nature. So we're not in the court of law, and that's why they tell you all day long, that this court, you know, they don't listen to the Constitution. You know, that Constitution is just a smokescreen. If you look at it, all courts are a private corporation, and they do have a EIN number and a DBA. And again, that's why it's important to enter your affidavit into commerce, because you are in a commercial setting. You're not in the court of law. You're in a court of commerce. So you have to learn. They hit it right now, so you have to learn to look at the terminologies and what they're saying. And I did that for years, overthink it and over-engineer it and end up, you know, they get past me by it. So remember, the Secretary of State is really called the Secret of Estate or the Estate. And what that is, that's the secret to make your straw man stand up and listen into that courtroom, because remember, they says, well, flesh and blood don't belong in court. So the thing is, okay, well, if it don't, then what are you doing talking in the courts? I'm not the straw man. I'm not the authorized. I'm the authorized representative. They don't hear you because you didn't use the go-between, which is the Secretary of the Estate. That's the way in and out of the commercial matrix. You have to activate them into your paperwork. And again, you know, then, you know, we'll end up getting into some other things like the UCC and, you know, things of that nature. So now when you know that you're in the court of commerce, you have to realize that next, everything you deal with is going to be a taxable issue. And I've used a few methods to get a lot of the IRS to raid the courts and lock up some judges, lock up some court clerks, lock up director of the police department, because once you squeeze one of them, they're going to all tell on each other to lessen their time. And remember, you are not in a court of law. And you look at any of your courts, it's going to say, just like in Michigan when I lived there, it says 8th Judicial Court. And you assume that, well, it says judicial, I'm in a judicial court. No, that's not so. That's a DBA name, just like Federal Express is not a part of the federal government. It's just named Federal. So, you know, this is just one of many things that you have to realize. And we usually have a problem with making them respect our paperwork, because they know we know more law than they do, but they know a lot more courtroom procedures than we do. So the thing is you don't necessarily have to argue with them. What you do is once you do your paperwork the proper way and use their own documents as well, and they have no way around it. And usually once you do that, they'll make up an excuse to try to get something, says, well, we're going to dismiss this case because the police didn't show up, or we're going to dismiss this case because, you know, we have tried to get whoever it is, the judge, or the DA didn't show up today. And that's just a scapegoat. But one thing that strikes fear in these courts is to ask them for their EIN number, which are on a W-9 form. You ask them for a 1099 OID or even a 1040, and you stand on that. You don't have to argue with them. Tell them what you ain't going to do, because they're looking for a reason to lock you up until you get your status corrected. Once you get your status corrected, then they won't have jurisdiction. But until then, you can do that. Or what you can also do is what I've done, and I had some friends do it too, is to go to court. And so now, but there is some people out there that I'm talking with, and I'll talk to them later, know how to make the court send you a letter so you don't have to show up. But until then, you know, you just have to, you know, deal with that issue. So, you know, when they call you up, are you blah, blah, blah? And, you know, our reaction was, like we learned years ago, I'm not him. I'm the authorized representative. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not the all capital letter name. Okay, the thing is, if you know they're not asking for you, why didn't you bring the straw man into court? Well, what's the straw man? The straw man is the birth certificate. So you're like, well, what would the birth certificate have to do with this? The thing is a lot of people talk about the straw man, but they don't know who it is and what it is. When they ask for an all capital letter name, first of all, capital is considered what we call today money. So, man, we need some of them capitals. What the White House sitting on, Capitol Hill and all of these places, capital, capital, capital. It's all about the capitals. So in order for you to exempt yourself from levy, you got to bring the straw man into court. And once you bring them and know what you're talking about, you don't have to argue. Some of them will play games with you, even after you do that, and they'll just go on and on and on. And they'll dismiss the case so they don't want you to know what you've done and worked. So it's very important to bring the birth certificate. Well, why the birth certificate? If you fill that birth certificate, you're going to fill it on bond paper. Bond. And what's on bond paper? Securities. It's just like on check paper, just like a dollar bill is not printed on regular paper. And it has a security number. Two things definitely goes on to debt court. If you do not bring in the surety, you're going to become the surety. And what happened, they'll give you and the straw man a ride and get the money. But if you learn how to operate in commerce by doing the correct thing instead of arguing, them folks will take what they want to get. They'll make up an excuse to throw you off the trail, and then they'll let you go, more than likely. Now, you may have some hard-headed ones that will try to, you know, proceed because they don't know. But I believe most of these courts, not all of them, but most of them know that they're after those funds off of those birth certificates. You got a minimum of $120 million on that birth certificate. And since you don't know how to use it, that's why they got all these laws to pull you over to get your credit. Well, the IRS manual says if you loan or if you pay or give anyone what you would call Federal Reserve notes, you file them on your taxes. So why is it that the court is taking Federal Reserve notes out of your pocket, checks, credit cards, and they don't give you a 1099 OID or W-9? Because they're double and triple dipping. So the best thing to do is just basically learn the rules, submit the paperwork properly, and get them in there. Bring the straw man with you. And it'd be helpful to bring some IRS paper. I had one gentleman call me about 3 days ago. He went in there. He brought the birth certificate. The judge still acted a little tough. He asked for a W-9-1099 OID, gave it to the bailiff. The bailiff gave it to the DA. The DA gave it to the judge. The judge looked down, you know, like she was like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, and looked up and bucked her eye, and she looked. And she says, well, sir, we have no reason for you to be here today, and we will not be contacting you again. You don't have to come back because he submitted those tax forms because they know that they're robbing your estate and they're not giving you a gift transfer tax, estate tax, or anything of that nature. They know once the IRS comes, they're going to catch them with those double entry books. So, you know, you have a few things to do. You don't have to fight your way out of everything. Once you do it correctly, it'll no longer be a controversy. So it just, you know, just picking and choosing your battles. And, you know, don't be so rough when you got your head. I would say when you got your head in lion's mouth, ease it out. And so, you know, I've had a few people that done this, and we have a process that's going on now. We want to see how that plays out in different ways. So, well, we can also, you know, I don't want to take over, you know, too much show, but if we have someone with some questions, you guys are welcome to call in, and we'll talk and go to the next subject and the next one, so it won't be, you know, a boring evening and have some fun. So we can have a little fun. And also, too, Sister Fold, if some of the callers come and have a question, you can take some questions also. And you guys have to forgive us, you know, this is our first time on, you know, working the boards and things like that. So we have a little problem. We're just working out, and we'll get it straight.
Yeah. The chat room, I apologize. I think we have a couple of questions. The chat room is not showing up now, but I'm going to open up the mic for 715, I believe. 715 right now has a question, so let me open up the mic. And 715, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Oh, I did it right. Okay. All right. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
Very good. Okay. What is your question?
I understand the birth certificate is a trust, correct?
Well, I know the birth certificate is a certificate that definitely indicates that there is a security and a trust have been established.
And I also understand that the only position without liability in the trust is a beneficiary. The executor and the trustee carries liability, correct?
Well, actually, it depends. And I know the trustee definitely carries the liability, but the donor, grantor, beneficiary, settlor is the beneficiary that don't carry the liability. Now, one thing with the executor of the estate, once you get your status changed, see, executor falls under, in a sense, like a common law. Once you become one of the people again, you know, via your status, then guess what? Now you can become the executor again, but they'll mow right over if you are a, which is a classified U.S. citizen, because the people can be executors, a U.S. citizen. They really make it hard to be an executor because you have to get back in your proper seat or your proper status.
Okay. But everyone of their birth certificate trust is the lawful true beneficiary of it, correct? The one that's set up in your name.
Mm-hmm.
And the trustee and the executor has a fiduciary responsibility to the beneficiary, correct?
That's correct. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
You know, you have like executor, you have the general executor, and you know, things of that nature.
I was served with a lawsuit from a bank, mm-hmm. and I told them that I wasn't the trustee to the summons guy, and then he asked if I was an individual. I told him I was a man. Mm-hmm. And they dropped the whole thing. They dismissed it. They discharged it.
Oh, great.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, because an individual is a corporation.
Yes, an individual is a corporation.
Correct.
Can be a corporation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but under common law, we know that citizen under common law and individual in the common law is, you know, it means, you know, the man and woman alive. But in the Black's law and, you know, all that stuff, we know that means corporation to them. Well, that's good. It sounds like somebody that you dealt with had some sense.
Yes. They must the server must have known the difference.
Well, that's good because it usually don't go that smooth for everybody.
That is correct.
So that's great. That's wonderful there.
Okay, caller.
Oh, one other question. What document can you file or just an affidavit into the court record stating that you're the lawful beneficiary of the trust? What document establishes that you or notices them that you're the lawful beneficiary?
Well, basically, the document that you establish is your birth certificate. That's certified and authenticated, and it also would be good to have do an affidavit of ownership of the birth certificate. It's called the Minnesota Rule 220, and those will be very good to file in there because once you do that, you'll receive your full faith and credit, and that's backed by the United States. And that also you'll be redeeming your title and your credit.
What document is that again?
The birth certificate that's been authenticated by the U.S. Department of State that says full faith and credit on it. And also the Minnesota Rule 220, an affidavit of ownership.
Affidavit of ownership, okay.
Yeah, that's what they call it, but really, you really want to be the beneficiary, but that's what they require. You always want to be the beneficiary. Because if some, you know, the owner receives liability, a beneficiary receives only the benefit. That's why I like the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Bill and Bird, and then all those guys, they said, well, we don't own nothing. We just benefit from it. So if anything goes wrong, you can't sue them. They just had to receive benefit, which is called basically trust law.
Okay, Brother Wade.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Brother Kyle, the directions to do all that he was asking about on the AMTC website.
Oh, okay, great.
www.americannationals.me. So the information that Brother Kyle just gave you, if you go to www.americannationals.me, you'll see that information.
So American National dot what was the last part?
American Nationals with an S dot M as in Mary, E as in Edward.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Thank you, caller, for that question. We'll move on to the next caller. Hello, 570, are you there? Caller?
Yeah.
570, how are you this evening?
Hello. I have a question. If I actually settle the case because, you know, basically they were kind of threatening me, and I did all that. I did declare my estate rule, the Minnesota rule, and I filed into public record, and I get a certified copy. Then I actually submitted to the court a true, correct copy of the certified copy from the recorder, and also my citizenship paper has been also authenticated, and judge just ruled everything just against, you know, against the laws and against this trust, and they totally breached the trust, and I end up paying $727, and I feel like I want to go back and get the money back. They totally breached the trust, and I want to go after them. So what should I do?
Okay. Now, what kind of trust did you have set up?
What do you mean the trust? I went after them. I declared my estate,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't care. The traffic court case in federal court, they didn't care.
Well, and usually they created, what happened? Oh, go ahead. I apologize.
So they created a judgment, and then I told the clerk of the court to discharge in my estate, and they didn't do that. And because they didn't do that, and then magistrate judge, again, she moved with a writ of warrant for arrest for four tickets. So there was four warrant for arrest. So now I was forced to give my credit, you know, ATM, you know, card, a debit card. So it was charged, you know, according to what they want. They don't want to discharge. They don't want to do anything. They want the, you know, the credit that I have in my account. So they took $727. So everything was then settled, but I feel like I got wrapped. I got these criminals, the magistrate judge and the U.S. attorney, they're all crooks. So I want to go after them.
Well, what you can do is, one thing is what I've done is, first of all, now if you set your estate up, you know, correct, and I understand that you didn't, that more than likely, not all the time, that once you set that up correct, it's hard to find any courts that will raid an estate or a trust because they know that's about a 20-year prison sentence. So now what you have in maybe what you had naturalization or citizenship paper, correct?
Uh-huh.
So that makes, now when you got that transferred, you know, I don't know how far it hits the system. Just say if you come from another country to this country, and I know that it will, but if I don't know exactly how that would work or how did you set it up, if you did either nationalization or naturalization. Now,
naturalization, and obtain a citizenship as an American national by creating an oath of allegiance. So I became one of the people, just like the people who are born here. Naturalization means conform a nationality according to the state. Naturalization or born someone who's born and register their birth, or the naturalization is the same thing.
The town
is securitized, and I have a CUSIP number.
Okay. Well, then, usually naturalization usually means that you have been classified as a U.S. citizen. Normally, and I'm not saying all the time, but 9 times out of 10, if not close to 10 out of 10, you have been turned into a U.S. citizen, which puts you under their jurisdiction. Now, if you did, just for instance, if you had all your paper correct, then I would have filed an appeal, or then you file a claim against them for breach of trust. And one thing about the federal courts are a higher admiralty court. But the thing is if you're one of the people, you're not so necessarily supposed to file complaints. You're supposed to file claims, bill in equity, and suits in equity. Because if you go back in that court and you file just a regular old, you know.
Yeah. So I want to go to court of equity and claim my estate, because $727 that I gave it to them, it's my money, and they have to return back to me.
Well, that's why I always say, usually now, this is what I do personally. When I deal with these guys, I just ask them, okay, well, if you guys are going to make me pay, well, then, if you're going to be that tough, well, give me the IRS papers. Let's see if you're that tough with the IRS. And they usually backpedal. But like I said, when it's come to dealing with a trust, a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people, I got a trust, got this set up, and I got that set up, and it's not set up correctly. And one thing these courts do know is not to raid an estate or a properly set up trust. Now, if they contracted with you and you answered to a certain extent, then you created a contract, and you can breach your own trust. Depending on, you know, what they asked you and what was your response. And only you can breach the trust, and if you give them permission through trickery, they can get at you. So, you know, it just depends, you know, on what went on. I don't know. I didn't see your paperwork, and I don't know what they said. But now, once you learn trust law and estate law, they can trick you into contracting and say, hey, look, she gave us permission. Even though you had it set up, she gave us permission. But still, on the commercial side, you can request a W-9, 1040, 1099 OID.
What I'm planning to do is I had 4 tickets, so I would like to actually see if these tickets are securitized. And I want obtain the CUSIP numbers, and then I want to send them to rebut it if they did not securitized. And if most likely they're not going to answer, they're going to default. And then I'm going to go to the court of equity in private chamber, and I want them to open everything and settle the claim.
You can do that, but like I said, it'll be kind of hard for me to say exactly, but I know I'm in the law that you can do that. They never issue a ticket that they can't securitize or monetize. Never. Those are what they would call
they don't monetize?
Yes, they do, of course.
Yeah, right. And I'm pretty sure there is a bond also. They actually told me to sign $250,000 bail bond if I don't show up in court. If I don't show up in court, I have $250,000, and they forced me to sign it. If I don't sign it, I don't get out. They put me in a jail cage, you know, those cages. I didn't even have a judge, access the judge, and they just created this paperwork by himself without the judge, and judge is supposed to sign those papers. And he wanted me to sign it, and I signed it under duress, and they didn't care. I'm pretty sure they went forward, and they put those papers in and securitized it.
Yeah, of course they do. Well, the thing is, you're talking the right thing to go back after them, because the thing is, the law states a fraud from the beginning is fraud in the end, and there's no statute of limitation on an ultra vires. So you can file it and file the request those IRS papers via certified mail, and then let them fight against the IRS. Now, you can discharge these debts, but, you know, that's another ball game, and, you know, we can't go over it, you know, at the moment, because, you know, we got other callers and finish up the show, but you have the right idea.
Yeah, so now I'm actually turning to private American National, because I now created a new contract with the government. So now I can go back to them and say, hey, I was always a private citizen, you know, private national, and you took advantage of me, you know, and I had all the documents submitted to court for evidence, and they totally, you know, brushed it under the rug for their privatized money, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, well, what I would do again is, I would file a claim against them on that. Not a complaint, but a claim.
The United States of America was the plaintiff. So should I claim towards the name United States of America?
No, I would file it against the individuals in their individual capacity that done it. Because if they act outside the law, they're personally responsible.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, caller. Okay, Kyle, would you like one of the American Nationals to come on and talk about the information that they have for the people?
Exactly, because like I said, this is a show, you know, people want remedy and not ego and folks to shut someone down because they feel that they know more than you. It's about remedy. And that's what we would do. I welcome folks to learn, and I welcome also if they know something we don't know, is, you know, we can be taught too. And that's what I like.
Okay. All right.
Well, sure.
620-620, caller, you're on the air. Would you like to mention information about the American National Organization? 620, you're live on the air.
Hey, Paula, could you check? It's just I just got a couple of texts that say the volume is not, you know, loud enough or something like that. Got two people saying they're having a hard time hearing.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's on
market. Let me see. Audio. Search audio. Upload audio. I can't do that. Let's see. Turn it up. Let's see. Video. The settings. Let me go to the. Oh, Lord. Let me go. Okay.
Yep. And yeah, check the volume again, too. I don't know if it's the weather. It's having the volume or that's causing it.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Audio.
Oh, yeah. I just sent the text. It said the audio is a little problem with the audio.
Yeah, okay.
One moment here.
Yeah, 1 second, people.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep, so I think that, just bear with us one moment. I don't know, because, you know, these are storm nights, and I don't know if that's affecting the audio that's going out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just checking that. And while you're working on that, Fola, I'm just sending a text to make sure that, you know, the audience can hear, you know, the audio real good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I don't know if it's the system or is it the computer.
Yeah.
If we can check on that. We'll double check on it. But yeah, and the same thing also too, all of these things are tickets, and everyone should again study the administrative laws and rules, and also go online and get what is called the rules of court. And usually once you read what the administrative judges and all them have, you know, you have a better chance to prevail. So, you know, that's what I could do. And also, too, last week, I got a call. I had a buddy of mine in the same token. He got his birth certificate, have it authenticated by the U.S. Department of State, sent it in to the courts, and he went there, and they said they dismissed the case. They said, well, because of the police officer didn't show up. And I said, yeah, because there was no reason for him to show up. So, you know, it's a few advantages. You have to learn how to operate in commerce. You can't really be really effective trying to use the Constitution. It's a smokescreen in the commercial court. So the thing is enforcing your paperwork and saying, I don't understand the charges, will get you in a lot of hot water. And now if you were in common law court, and said you didn't understand, that's different. But you can't be in a commercial court trying to enforce the common law rules on these guys, because really all of the states and all of the city, counties, municipalities have been placed under international law.
Mm.
So that's, you know, the difference. That's why you will see that they don't even want to obey their own rules anymore, because they have really all been placed on international jurisdiction, every last one. So, like I said, folks, bear with us. We're just trying to make sure that the audio is not on our side.
All right.
I'm just checking also as well. So, yes, that rolling the window down 2 inches and saying someone don't have jurisdiction and all of this madness will land you in more hot water than not. Because one thing about these policy enforcers, they're going to get that money out of you. They're going to get that credit out of you. So, you know, it's not good to aggravate a situation that's not in your advantage. That stuff does not work. Now, you might find another officer or something that says, hey, look, I don't want to go through this. Okay, you can leave. But that really doesn't work, and that being taught is really not a good idea. Because if you're in the system and they don't have no jurisdiction, they're going to know they don't have any jurisdiction. You won't even get far and land yourself in that position, because they're not going to take a chance on even doing that.
So far, Brother Keichel, I can't see anything and up to the audio on this end.
Okay, because I got let's see, there's one in Georgia, and I have one in South Carolina, saying that they're having a hard time. And they said there's some people in Atlanta, there's no audio. So I don't know if it's, like I said, it could be the weather, you know, affecting the system.
Right.
So.
Well, we've been having some horrific weather throughout the East Coast. And I
mm-hmm.
can testify because I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. We've just had 6 inches of snow. So I know where you are, it's pretty warm, so that's a good thing. But I don't see any, I apologize, though, for any inconvenience in reference to the audio. But on this end, I really don't see any problem here. So I apologize if you still aren't able to hear. But this is our first time, and the next time, hopefully, we won't have this problem or any issues like this. I was asking the person, 620, are you there to come on and talk about the American National?
Okay,
well, they're here, but I guess they must be preoccupied at the time. So.
Okay. We can continue to move forward. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, indeed. So, if you will, Fola, could you either get a little closer or speak a little louder?
Okay. Is that loud enough? Oh,
that's not good. Yeah, that's great. That is really great.
Okay.
So now what we can do is, like I said, we can continue to, you know, to move forward. Again, we all face the same thing, the same issues as far as the courts, and I've done it my first probably about 3-4 years, tried to beat them with the Supreme Court rulings and the Supreme Court law, and I was like, wow, these guys are not listening to anything. But really what it is, again, it's a maritime martial law court, which it is there since it's there. We just have to, you know, protect ourselves by not arguing necessarily with them. And I've also had a few guys that I had worked with over in Maryland as well. I went to court, one guy, and I'm just going to call names. One guy named Lamont was in court. He told the judge, him and his girlfriend, that they didn't understand the charges, that they were not pleading, and that the court didn't have jurisdiction. One's doing 10 years, or I think it's 10 years, and the other one is doing 5 to 7. And with one of the guys in the group I was working with on there, and I just, you know, simply told them to, you know, not argue, don't use that because it don't work. It absolutely does not work. Tell the judge when they get a chance to speak, accept the charges for value, return for value for full settlement, and closure of the account. The prosecutor said, hey, you can't do that. And the judge said, oh, yes, he can. Yes, they can. To make a long story short, they did do it. And the judge said, well, I'll enter King Albert's plea in, and you guys can go home. I'll just give you probation. Now, is there anything else that you want from me? It's what the judge asked. But, you know, we were happy enough to not, hey, nobody's not going to do it in prison time and go to jail. So, you know, that worked out well. See, when you go into court, they always tell you, do you understand the charges? And like I said before to one of my real good brothers in South Carolina, I said, they never ask you, do you understand the crime? What they ask you, the charges. And what do you do with charges? You discharge them. And like I said, it's easy to say until you learn how to correctly do it. So when you're in these courts of commerce, you're in a banker's court, you're in a tax court, the judge sits the bench. Bench means bank in Latin. So therefore, when you're in that court, what does the banks have? They have clerks and tellers. What does the court have? Clerks and tellers. And what does the judge sit? The bank. but they call it bench in Black's Law. In Latin, it's bench. The judge sits the bench. And he's really not a judge. He's an administrative judge, which basically means an administrator. So, you know, we have to get into our head. When you go into there, it's about tax law, estate law, contract law, and, of course, martial law. That's how they get you in there. And the reason they get you in there, whenever you see on your paper that the state of, just like one of the young ladies just said, the state of the United States versus her, what that was is a hint to tell you that you are an enemy of the state because there was no injured party. Only an enemy of the state can be charged by the state without an injured party. So a lot of these things are hidden right there in our face, right there. So it's so tricky, it's so hidden. We've been conditioned so much. You know, when it's been thrown in our face, it's hard to see. And really, once you learn the proper technique, you know, which we have some good people on the team that does that, and it works. They get people out of jail, get people out of prison, discharge debt, so on and so forth. So the thing is just learn these rules, learn these laws, learn that you're not in a Article III court. Everybody know it, but we still go at them using the Article III rule, and they don't fare too well. They'll let some of us slide, you know, to give you hope. So, again, that is not the way to get that. You got a line of credit under HGR 192, Chapter 48, Statute 112. You have a line of credit. You just have to learn how to use it. You know, if you don't use it, you know, they'll hold you and use it for you, you know, at your expense. So,
and that's
what like I said, again,
Well, Brother Kaya, we have another caller on the line.
Okay.
Caller 928, are you there? Caller 928, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you. There was a lady speaking a while ago about she received a CUSIP number on a trial case.
Yes.
How do you go back then a CUSIP number? And who do you get it from?
Well, usually, like I said, we have a lot of really good people that we work with, even with ANPC, that can get the CUSIP numbers for you. Now, I have a Series 7 security broker, you know, before I met her, that got the CUSIP number for me. But what I do is I give you guys an email, and you can reach me. And then that way, then, if you want to get these things, you know, they you know, there is an expense. It's not outrageous enough to get these because, you know, they're not free to get these looked up and get them. But I'm going to give you guys out my email. And that email, I'm going to say it first. It's going to be Mr. Fixit, and it's going to be abbreviation, 20012 at yahoo.com. And again, that's MRFXIXIT 20012. At yahoo.com. Again, that's Mr. Fixit 20012 at yahoo.com. And like I said, we work with a lot of noble people that don't let their egos get in the way and just run us over. And, you know, we're having really good success and we're having some really good learning just as well as from some people that has a lot more in-depth and insight of knowledge and the way to operate in commerce. So we have a great team, and we also connect with great teams just as well.
Okay, thank you, Willie.
Yes, sir.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, thank you, caller. Okay, I don't see any more hands up right now. Brother Kael, I just wanted to mention the American National website. Once again, which is www, for anybody that's interested, www.AmericanNationals.mEd, www.AmericanNationals.me. And we're basically a group that will help you with any of the issues that you're having, whether or not it's an issue with a citation, a foreclosure, you know, anything basically that deals with commerce. And the website, we have quite a few documents that can help you with a situation that you may be going through. We also have a new charter, what else, a constitution. We're working on a trust. So there are a lot of things that are forthcoming that we're doing to make sure that our people are protected. Also, for those that are American nationals on this call, we have now a federal miscellaneous case, court case, open. So if you're having any problems, especially like being pulled over, or like, for instance, the other day someone called me in reference to a person using their American National ID card. They bought a plane ticket with it. But when they got to the TSA people to go through, they wouldn't let them go through with the ID that they had because they didn't have a driver's license. So when you get into a situation like that, immediately send us an email. Well, once you get on the website, you'll see an email to send us, you know, any type of issue that you may be having with, you know, law enforcement, judge or whatever in the system. So that's all I wanted to say on that one. So yep. Since I don't see any more hands up at the moment.
And also, too, what I like to say, Foley, and also you know, to the audience, that, you know, like I said, again, we have also, as well as professionals, CPAs, real guys and ladies.
Oh, yeah.
And also, too, just like I do forensic, certified forensic audits and things of that nature, and have actually retired and also former federal court judges, former district court judges and chief judges help us out with our paperwork, as well as we have some private people as well that has, I would say, actually there's 100% success rate, which, you know, this, but it's 99.999% success rate, and it works all the time. So like I said, we've grouped up, you know, with some really wonderful people, and to help folks like yourself, myself, and to stop the corporations from, you know, running you over, disrespecting you, and also for, you know, you using what they call the Federal Reserve note as currency as of now to help you get all of those back without the feds knocking on your door, without the Secret Service knocking at your door, and without the IRS bothering you. So we have some very competent people with some long track records to help out. Really good folks. And, you know, and I'm glad because it enhances, you know, what I've studied and, you know, what I learned. And we also welcome other people with Remedy. So, you know, this is the people show, not my show, you know, or anything of that nature. This is for Remedy. It's for people that's really not scared to help other folks out without their egos getting in the way and feeling afraid that someone is going to take over their audience. So it's not about that. So we're looking at some good success, and we're inviting some great folks on that really know what they're doing and to help people out, you know, in real time. So we love it. So
okay,
like I said, if anybody else has some questions.
And we have about an hour and 5 minutes left.
Okay.
And I think I see another, Jen. Let me see first. This person came on before. 715, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have another question?
Yes. I was wondering, once you have this all established, do you still have a driver's license, or are you totally free of that?
Well, what happens is, if you're in commerce, you know, that usually requires a driver's, which means a commercial license. But once you get everything situated the proper way, you will not need the state's what they call ID to travel. And remember, U.S. citizen drives, the people travels. So, and also, too, I like to say I work hand-in-hand, and they're a good family of mine, too, ANPC, that does insurance bonds and also put your vehicles into a private trust where it will show that, and the DMV will respect these things. And see, our problem is, not us, the ANPC, but as a people before then has used the Supreme Court, but it didn't seem to work. And when it's done right, they will fold up and they will give you what you want. But they're wicked, but we're equally not knowing the whole process by listening to a lot of gurus that tells you the end result, but they don't give you the foundation. So we have those to deal with things of that nature, like bonds, master bonds, getting your things correctly put into and out of the system. So, you know, you won't have to worry about the policy enforcers and the policy officers violating it until we make a claim. You know, if they do, they violate a claim.
Now, one other question, please. What about a child that doesn't have a government birth certificate?
Well, Now, what will happen is, yes, they're free because, remember, these people are after us because of a line of credit or a credit that has been put on the birth certificate in the Social Security card or an account. My daughter, I used, when on her nativity date, I used, because the hospital wanted to fight, I used the Bible with the genealogy in there and had the nurse to bring me a ink pad, and I stamped her feet in there. You know, my wife and I signed it, and, boy, they look like a deer stuck and trapped in a headlight. Because also she is not a U.S. citizen. Now she's born, what you would call born a true, free people under the biblical law. So there's not much they can do with it. But, you know, of course, if someone's seeing you abusing a child, or, you know, then they'll kick in. But as far as the administrative side of it, there's nothing that we can get out of her, so she's no use or he's no use to us. But, see, that's the difference between lawful and legal. We all was born on the lawful side, and we was turned over on the legal side, you know, via the birth certificate as classified as, you know, we all heard the routine, informant, U.S. citizens and all that stuff. So, you know, we're not going to get into that whole history. We know how that works. But, yeah.
Does your wife and you have a marriage license?
Well, yeah, we sure do. Right there in the Bible, with a witness, we're married lawfully, not legally.
Okay, well, good for you.
Well, no, I didn't want to marry the government. So they come and say, well, now I'm married to you and your wife, but now you got to do what we say do. If you notice, I've never seen a Amish or I've never seen a Quaker into the court. Never seen them in the court.
I have seen them in court.
Oh, you have?
The Amish. Yes, and the reason is because they do get marriage license and birth certificates.
Uh-oh. Well, it must be a new and improved one.
But some of them are waking up, and they're not getting them.
Yeah. Well, you know, they started off doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, caller, is that it?
Yes.
All right, thank you so very much for your question. Okay, I believe this number came up before. I'm just going to ask again because I see a question mark. 570, are you there? Do you have a question? Another question, 570. All right.
All righty. Now,
okay.
For the, Oh, excuse me.
Wait a minute, one more. 928, do you have another question? 928, do you have another question?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Well, you know, again, what we have is we have a wicked, what you would call a corporation, but also, too, we have us beginning to learn, and we have to remember that we're are actually defending ourselves against about a good, what, 300? Close to about 300 years of deception and fraud and ignorance and wickedness as well, because we're dealing with wickedness in high places. So, you know, I think as the people that want to be free, you know, I applaud them and I thank them for wanting to have their nationality and want to have their freedom like they're supposed to have, because man did not create us and give us our freedom. It's, but they sure are trying to take it. So, you know, it just reminds you that, oh, what's wrong with you? Something's wrong with you. You know, if what they say, if being free is wrong, then I don't want to be right. And that's just the way it is. So there's a lot of people like being slaves. So I guess someone has to do it, and it's definitely not us. And again, our remedy lies in studying, you know, the right things and the paperwork, because the pen is mightier than the sword. And to prove that, you know, how many times a judge so old, they sitting up there looking like they about to turn into dirt. Stroke of that pen, boy, you can be the toughest dude, lift the most weight in the world, kick the most butt in the world. That pen will get you every time. That pen will stack the deck. So we have to use the pen and knowledge, you know, to reverse this stuff. And I'm looking forward to seeing getting, what you say, all our rights and punishing these people for what they've done in my lifetime. I'm really looking forward to that. So
I agree with that.
So, like I said, I don't make a good slave. And so that's why we really love that the people that like to study, you know, and get this thing done and get free. So I really like it. Is anything that you have to say also, Sister Fola?
I was thinking about sharing my situation with what I'm going through right now. Maybe that may be able to help someone. When the United States Secret Service, which I did not know that there was a Secret Service as police that were working in conjunction with the Metro Police in D.C. Do you think I can go ahead and share that with the family?
Oh, yeah, because you was in a whole so-called different country and a territory.
Right,
yeah.
In a territory. For those that don't know, my situation on, I'll never forget this day, as long as I live, December the 17th, 2014, I was coming from the State Department getting my birth certificate, several copies authenticated, and some other paperwork. When I left the State Department, I was on my way to a doctor in Arlington, Virginia. So as long as I've been going back and forth from Baltimore to D.C. riding on my tags, I never had any problems with any of the Metro Police in D.C. So around 9:30, this Secret Service person pulls me over, and I stop, and he says, your tags, I've never seen them before. And I said, of course you don't know what they are. You wouldn't see them because they're not in the system. So he says, well, I see that you have diplomat on the tags and the rest of them American, whatever it is. And I said, yes, it's a private tag and a conveyance. This is my private conveyance. And the tags are private, and they wouldn't be in the system. So he runs the, asked me for my ID. I gave him my American National ID. That wasn't enough. So I gave him my world passport. That wasn't enough. So he decided that, well, I need you to step out the car. And I say, for what? I said, I've done nothing wrong. I said, I'm traveling in my private conveyance coming from the State Department going to a doctor's appointment. Well, you need to step out of the car. And I said, again, for what? I've committed no crime. So anyway, going back and forth. Here come about 20 officers. And, of course, I'm a female, so they're going to bring in a female. She's going to try to talk to me and tell me I need to get out. And I told her the same thing I said to him. If I didn't get out for him, what makes you think I'm going to get out for you? I told you before, I've done nothing wrong. Also, it took about, let's see, I guess like maybe 30 minutes because, you know, they tried to get me out of the car. And one of the so-called captains blocked me in. And next thing I know, here come some more officers. Now, I am a frail person and, you know, innocent looking, you know, on my way to take care of some business, traveling, not bothering anyone. So make a long story short, the captain says he couldn't hear. I had Brother Kyle on the phone because anytime we're pulled over, we always want to call someone so that at least we could have a witness on the other end. And the officer was saying something, well, you need a permit. And I said, no, I don't. I'm traveling, and I have my private tags. I do not have your corporate tags, and I'm not driving. So going through that back and forth, the officer, the captain, I can't hear you well. I said, yes, you can. I said, I'm speaking through the window. It's about maybe 2 inches or whatever. You can hear me very well. So anyway, he manages to take his arm and put it through my window and open the door. And they started to pull me out. I said, please don't do that. I can get out on my own. So they arrested me. No probable cause at all. And searched my vehicle, took some money that I had in the glove compartment, towed my car, and I sat in jail for 2 days. And so after all of that, they had a lawyer, and I'm not too fond of lawyers like most of us aren't. And when they had the arraignment, he said, well, she's going to release you on your own recognizance. I said, well, I need to say something. So he said, well, no, you don't want to say anything right now. She's letting you go. And I wanted so bad to say something in reference to why I am here. So to make a long story short, when I went back to court, I did the authenticated birth certificate. I said I will conditionally accept all of the charges, not the crime, for faith and credit, and I want to settle and close the account. Well, I wrote a letter to the judge, to the clerk of the court. I sent all this to the judge, to the clerk of the court, and also to the D.C. treasurer because they're the ones that handle the account. And the next time I had gone to court, the judge, the police, and the lawyer, they didn't show up. And I'm saying, okay, well, this case needs to be dismissed with prejudice. So before I could even open my mouth, because there was another judge, and she didn't even say, do you have anything to say? Because they had assigned a lawyer, an attorney, not a lawyer. They assigned an attorney. And we went back and we talked or whatever. So he was trying to tell me, well, you know, this constitutional information that you have is not going to work here in these courts. And I'm sitting there looking at him. And I really didn't have any constitutional information. I just had basically some information on I do not consent to these proceedings. I will not accept your offer. I will not be surety and so on and so on and so on. So I didn't get a chance to say anything at that point. So then I have to come back again. This time she's there. They decided that they weren't going to have a lawyer, an attorney. They were going to advise me because I told them that I wanted to handle my own defense. At first I said represent, and I realized that was the wrong word to say. So handle my own defense. And so now I have this person that is an attorney. What she did, she took me upstairs to look for the exact charge. Now, I'm reminding you, they pulled me over because of not having tags. Well, I had a stun gun that I really, it was in my car. I didn't know it was in there. And they used that as the so-called charge, dropped the weapon. Now, first of all, he violated the Fourth Amendment. He did not have a search warrant from a judge. And he did an illegal search and seizure. And that's what they got me on instead of the tag. So that just goes to prove and show you that it's not about riding on your private tags. You can do that. It's just that they found a stun gun. Don't know how I got in there. They found a stun gun, and they're using that as a charge. Now, because he didn't have probable charge, that won't stick either. So I just say that to let you know that in their system, especially D.C., which is that federal zone, you know, they want to drag this thing out. But they have their money from the trust, so they made me go through a competent hearing called a a forensic screening. And then in order, the judge wasn't there on Thursday. I had to go back. The judge wasn't there, so I got to wait till she comes back on the, I'm supposed to go back on March 4th, and she will make the determination whether or not that I can proceed with handling my own defense. So it's a lot of game playing BS and all of this that they're doing. But I say that to say I did submit my authenticated birth certificate, willing to accept the charges, you know, with full faith and credit, and I'm still there, you know. So I guess I have to, like, you know, play this thing out until it's over.
Well, since you did that, how many times did you have to go to court and the judge wasn't there?
Let me see, two times already, and it should have been dismissed with prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
And when I told the other judge the other day that, you know, I don't consent to these proceedings, I don't accept your offer, it was like it went over her head, because all of a sudden she says, well, Judge Howes is the one that will have to decide, you know, this case. So we still have to make a court